Hey, welcome to the Weed Out, where we weed out the nonsense and talk about the bullshit happening in our backyard. I'm Spencer Fox Peterson with my co-host.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joanna May Booty.
This week, we have some great union news. We're introducing you to Trader Joe's and just Trader Joe's unionizing in general, but we have Hadley in our backyard leading the charge on the union fight, along with other places like Barnes & Noble Hadley, who we've had on a few times, and Michaels, who recently just formed. There's a nice little union bubble happening over in Hadley and Route 9. So if you're not familiar with the area, it's in between Northampton and UMass. And it's one of the bright spots. And as we were saying off air, we're abolitionists. We talk a lot about police malfeasance and the prison industrial complex. But the good part about doing our work is we get to meet with so many wonderful people organizing and giving hope and examples to lead, to take from, take example from, and inspiration. And a better world is possible. And it's when we build community with those that we live around and those that we work with. So Joanna, do you have any thoughts before we got to do some housekeeping, but any thoughts before we get into it?
As a member of a union myself, and someone I sought out a position where I knew that it was a union already in place. I'm always so moved by the people that we get to speak to from these movements, because I don't know if everyone knows, like, unionizing is so amazing, but it is such hard work. And so the organizers, the activists, they're doing some amazing work, and it's wonderful just to get to hear their perspective and hear what's going on with our neighbors in the community.
So before we get into the interview, just a reminder, everything we talk about today will be cited on our website at www.theweedout.com. We will link any relevant information or contact information or calls to action, anything like that, just like every other episode. So friendly reminder, you can always email us too. We're very responsive and we believe in community building. So without further ado, we welcome Meg from Trader Joe Hadley Union. And I guess the first question is, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you two doing?
We're doing good. We're so happy you're here.
Thank you for having me.
I guess the first question is, who are you guys?
Yeah, so my name is Meg Yosef. I work at the Trader Joe's in Hadley, Massachusetts. I'm a member of Trader Joe's United, which is the independent union of Trader Joe's workers. Trader Joe's United started last summer when at the Hadley store, we won our union election last July. And we have been organizing Trader Joe's locations across the country ever since. We have four locals as part of TJU. The Minneapolis store unionized 2 weeks after Hadley, followed by the Louisville, Kentucky store in this past January, although due to some corporate delays, they are yet to be certified. And last April, the Oakland, California store joined TJU as well.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. And that big steps. Trader Joe's is a known name. It's not a small business. And it's good because, you know, they make a lot of money on the unpaid labor or unpaid wages. And the irony is, if people have money in their pocket from the work that they do, they can spend more money in the economy. So I wish that was more of a highlight of labor negotiations, but very grateful for all your work doing this. And it's probably been a whirlwind of a year and change. I'm sure it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. You know, we're regular people, we're grocery store workers taking on like a multi-billion dollar company that has endless resources to union bust. And so it has been really intense, but it's also been really gratifying and satisfying and meaningful for us too.
And what are your demands?
Well, we don't have demands per se. Negotiations is really a back and forth process. So we have proposals, which we've developed. All four stores come together to brainstorm proposals, which are further refined by our bargaining committee and which are further refined with our legal team. And so the things that we really want to achieve in a contract so that we can take care of ourselves and our families are things like increased wages. You know, a lot of crew members are not making a living wage. If you look at the MIT has a great living wage calculator, and the living wage is not a set thing. Like, it really varies for people's locations and family situations. And I would say many crew members are not making a living wage. And we really believe that workers should have not just a living wage, but a thriving wage. A living wage is kind of like a subsistence level wage, but we think people should be able to meet their most basic needs and have a little bit of comfort too. We are looking to bring back a guaranteed retirement contribution. When I started at Trader Joe's almost 20 years ago, crew members had a guaranteed retirement contribution from the company every year. And a couple summers ago, that was taken away. There's no guarantee. Everything's discretionary, which makes it really hard for crew members to plan for their future. And it's basically essentially cut our pay. Our pay was cut when that contribution was taken away. We'd also like to see healthcare be more accessible for crew members. The hours required for health insurance has gone up over time. A lot of folks have lost their health insurance because of that. And we'd also like to see some key safety issues be addressed that have not been addressed in the time I've been with the company. Things like repetitive injuries. A lot of crew members deal with chronic pain. You walk in the store, people are, you know, wearing braces. You know, I myself had a back injury several years ago and can no longer work full time. And safety issues like emergency preparedness, handling issues within the safety issues within the community. So there's a number of things that we would really like to see in a contract.
And when did y'all become like certified Hadley Store? And when is the next big action in as far as negotiations?
Yeah, so our union in Hadley was certified within the week after our election. So we won our election, and if there's no objections on either side, then the NLRB certifies within, I think, 5 to 7 days. So we were certified last summer. We began bargaining last November. We bargained with the company until April, at which point we attempted a hybrid setup for bargaining based on a statement the NLRB had made about a Starbucks case. You know, they said it wasn't bad faith for Starbucks Workers United to say, hey, we want to do hybrid bargaining. So we're like, okay, let's do that. Let's try that too. It's so much more accessible for workers. And the company has refused to sit at the table with us since. So our goal right now is to get Trader Joe's to come back, sit down at the table with us again, and negotiate in good faith.
I hope that happens for you.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I know like the bargaining process within I'm in the teachers union in Mass. It's very similar. Just sometimes waiting, I would like the audience to know, like waiting on the administration or the corporate entities that you're working with to come to the table can be such a long time. And that can be stressful. And it's a way for them to drag out the negotiation process too.
They're absolutely dragging it out. And you know, to be fair, having been at the bargaining table with Trader Joe's from the beginning, the sessions where they did sit down with us are about as productive as the sessions where they refused to come in the room, because they were dragging it out then too. They really didn't want to, they were not negotiating in good faith.
Right. No, it's sad to hear. Because I'm sure everyone in Western Mass who knows of your store and of that area, it's a fantastic place to come and shop. If it's even just on your lunch break, or just, you know, if it's your weekend trip out with your honey or whoever, your own single time, it's all of the workers at Trader Joe's, I feel like, are doing always 100%. I feel like any one of you will always help me find anything I've ever needed. And I've always felt that way. And I believe all workers deserve a union. So I really hope that the company begins bargaining in good faith, because they don't know what they have. I hope they want to hold on to all of you. You're so great.
Well, thank you so much. I think it's in their best interest to sit down and negotiate a good contract for their workers because, you know, happy workers provide better service and help create that amazing, the customer service and the brand that Trader Joe's is known for. And
right.
They have a progressive reputation. So we just want to see them live up to those values.
That's a fair thing to want. And I stand in solidarity with you.
Thank you.
Two takeaways I get from that. It sounds like corporate is just Michael Scott when he's trying to negotiate with Daryl. And he literally goes to Wikipedia, top 10 negotiation tactics, change venue last minute, talk softly and don't enunciate, lean back to establish dominance, again, change location. Like, it's like literally that Michael Scott joke is so fucking corporate America. It's
so scary.
There's a key difference in that Michael Scott was incompetent and Trader Joe's has hired some of the most expensive, infamous union avoidance firms, who are very competent and expert in union busting, in delaying things, in weaponizing the NLRB legal process, as they've done at our Louisville location, where they have, Louisville won fair and square, but Trader Joe's filed objections to the election. There was a hearing. The hearing officer said these objections are crap. This union should be certified. Trader Joe's filed more exceptions to that report. So we're just in this like long-term waiting game where we know that they won fair and square. We know eventually the NLRB process will do the right thing, but it's just, you know, a delay tactic. So Michael Scott is incompetent. Trader Joe's is hiring folks who are very, very good at what they do. And what they do is make it hard to unionize.
Well, I appreciate the reframe and the recalibration. You're absolutely correct. So thank you. Thank you. Again, this is why our guests are so good.
Well, I love Office reference for sure.
at least the meme, the GIFs or the memes, like, you know, everybody knows what you're talking about. It's one of the few unifying things.
If only we're dealing with Michael Scott, we probably have unionized the whole company by now. But
seriously,
it's gonna be a little bit slower.
Yeah, he wasn't. He had too big of a dumb heart. But still a competent, a useful idiot for corporate America. So let's also remember he was blocking ideas the whole time. Anyways, thank you for taking this fight to them and sharing with the community. And like, I want everybody at home that's either unionizing or not. There's other people that are sharing your story and similar experiences. As somebody that's not in a union, I negotiate pretty aggressively, and I also put everything in writing. And I'm in an industry where they don't do things in writing, so. There's ways to be inspired by your friends unionizing. You can approach your work and your demands, or, you know, your proposals for a better working relationship. And there's inspiration there. So thank you so much for doing that. And it clearly it's catching on down in Hadley. Sidebar, I heard that the Starbucks Hadley was talking about unionizing, and they're under construction right now, all of a sudden.
I saw something about that and I haven't dug in, but that is definitely suspect. I didn't know they were talking about unionizing. That's
the Northampton one is.
The Northampton. Okay.
So maybe they were, I gotta get more confirmation on that, but I do know that there was rumblings of, maybe it was just because they saw Northampton was gaining steam. So I still think Howard Schultz is the worst CEO of all of them. Elon Musk, all of them. Like, I the guy who owns Starbucks, he like terrifies me. Bob Iger don't get nothing on that guy. So yeah. Again, it's numbers, and even just, I'm sure you guys appreciate it when you're wearing your pins or however you signify your union, or people that just know your story because they read about it in the Shoestring or even Mass Live has, and New York Times, I think, shouted you guys out in a very milquetoast centrist way, kind of insinuating there's communism in Hadley.
Oh, the New York Times do a Hadley story? I haven't seen that.
I don't remember if it was New York Times or Washington Post. Somebody wrote an op-ed, like, there's this union boom. I'm not prepared. Sorry, everybody.
I'll find it and share it with you, Meg. It was basically, yeah, like a little socialist pocket or communist pocket in like Western Mass. And I can't remember either if it was the WAPO or the New York Times, but I'll find it and share.
Oh, I would love to read that. Thank you.
It's very funny.
I'm being colorful. I don't think they were like these commies, but it was like that. It was that like Red Scare McCarthyism stuff where you're like, wait a second.
Yeah,
it's pretty radical when you want money for both rent and groceries at the same time.
Wild stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're not even getting into the meats and potatoes of the other stuff, like, you know, carceral system, war. We can't even basic, talk about that.
Basic needs. Yes, basic needs.
So that's why they don't want to feed us.
Can you tell the audience like how can they help moving forward? And I know now you're just waiting for the company to come and sit down and bargain in good faith, but what can we all do to support you beyond being nice when we come in and showing support as a community?
Well, we love it when our customers come in and show their support and excitement for the union. That's always great. And even though we have paused bargaining for now, we've still been very busy organizing other Trader Joe's locations across the country. So after our campaign went public last summer, we've heard from crew members in every single state where there is a Trader Joe's. We've heard from hundreds of people who are curious about organizing their store. Some are actively organizing their store. And TJU, you know, all of our leadership positions are filled by crew members who are working in stores still. And we are doing, you know, our national officers are working in stores. I'm serving as our communications director. Connor in Louisville is our organizing director. So we're doing all that work of organizing other stores ourselves, which is wonderful because we understand best how to get that done. But because we are an independent and unaffiliated union, we right now, until we can collect dues with the contract, which Trader Joe's, as we talked about, is delaying, we're really relying on donations from the community to support our work, to pay our legal fees, pay for lost time, help folks who need to travel. So if you go to our website, traderjoesunited.org, in the nav bar, there is a place where you can donate. There are places where you can just find out what's going on with us, get to know us better. So I would start there. Donations, sharing our story on social media. We have merch for sale. So if you want a really awesome union tote bag to show off at the checkout, you know, we can get that. That's there too. So that's a great place to start.
Awesome. We will share that with this episode too, so that people can easily find that information. And hopefully, I just want everyone to know, like, anything you can do to support is helpful, I'm sure. So I really will make sure our audience has that information.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And anybody at home, if you need contact or you have any questions, we'll be more than happy to direct you to. So if, you know, you don't know what you're doing about any union, people at home, Joanne and I will try our best. We have a network of people. And hopefully, you know, there's always other people we're meeting in this work, and it's all about building a network, rather, and with a strong back end of people with like-minded values. Like I said, you know, I'm not organized at my work. I'm kind of isolated from organizing at my work. You know, I'm off on my own a lot, so it's not as easy. So one solution I said was like, why don't Joanna and I start a podcast and a place for writers or organizers to come and tell their story? So thank you so much for coming on, because we can't do it without y'all. And it's not about us. It's about inspiring other people with stories, and it's not all doom and gloom. So, you know, you people like you and, you know, your union and the unions, just one thing. It's just one thing. You know, we're not talking about people getting vote signatures and all that stuff, electoral organizers, but the unions, it is the wins. It's where the wins lit are. So thank you so much for giving us hope.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
And, you know,
anytime, honestly, we are just like Spencer said, sorry if I'm interrupting you, Spence, but I just think it's so important for the community to know more and more about how this process works, how that anyone can try to do it within the workplace that they're in, feel more confident asking questions about it. And then knowing that, like, we are all neighbors, and the more we support each other, we can all have, I do imagine, a better life. We can have those things, and we just have to stick to it. And people doing this work like yourself and all of the Trader Joe's United workers, I just salute you. And thank you for all of that.
Oh, thank you.
And if I may, we don't necessarily have to keep this in, but do you want to talk about the termination of your colleague in Hadley?
Yeah, sure.
It's absolutely astonishing what happened there. So if you could please fill everybody in, you're more intimately knowledgeable. I'd rather hear the stories for, so if anybody at home doesn't know, there's all retaliation against a crew member. So please tell us the story, corporate retaliation, you know, union busting, whatever you want to call it. So please.
Yeah. So just for some background, from the moment that we announced our campaign in Hadley last year, we've seen the same union busting tactics that you might see at Starbucks or Amazon, at every store that's filed for an election. But my sense is that this summer, the company has really decided to step up their level of retaliation in some pretty intense ways. So on June 8th of this summer, my friend and our coworker, Steve was terminated for failing to remove a small power tool, a jigsaw, from the store. So he was terminated in June. A manager had mentioned the jigsaw to him like during the holiday season, months before. It was like, hey, Steve, you should take this home. And Steve forgot. It gets busy. It's the holidays. And also, the tool didn't belong to Steve. The tool was purchased under the direction of management years before Steve actually came to work in Hadley. And wasn't in use. Steve is a store artist. The store artists were not using this tool. Management was actually using the tool to, you know, do some shelving projects. So it was pretty shocking when Steve was terminated for supposedly failing to remove this tool. Management claimed that he created a safety issue by failing to remove it, even though management was actively using this tool. And so it's pretty clear to us that this was not about a tool at all, that this was about retaliating against Steve for his union support. He's a vocal union supporter. He's very active in advocating for his coworkers to improve working conditions in the store. And it was just absolutely shocking. And so we rallied together and had a series of escalating actions in support of Steve to bring attention to the cause, to show Trader Joe's that an injury to one is an injury to all. So we've walked out. We've had our supporters engage in phone actions. We had a rally a couple of weeks ago outside corporate headquarters in Boston, all in support of the reinstatement of Steve. The company has not responded, which is really disappointing. We have filed charges with the National Labor Relations Board, and so we are going through the legal process to reinstate Steve as well.
Well, it's good to know that he has community that has his back. You know, it's not great, but it's something. So thank you for sticking up for your coworker and your friend, you know, your comrade, whatever you want to call him.
That's what
you do. And it's petty nonsense. This is nothing to a billion-dollar corporation. Like, this is the difference between having a house and food for Steve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Steve has a family. He was carrying their health insurance. So it's definitely, you know, it might be just another number or a way to erode union support to the company, but a real person we care about. And, you know, we would all fight for each other. That's part of what being in a union is about.
Absolutely. Preach. So yeah, I guess before we head out for the day, if you could just remind our audience like how they can help and support, you know, and just give your elevator pitch one more time for us.
Yeah, sure. So to support Trader Joe's United, as I mentioned, we're an independent union actively organizing stores across the country. We can't collect dues until we get a contract. So donations are key to us to supporting our work. We also have merch for sale. We have actions that you can participate in if you join our email list. So just go to TraderJoesUnited.org to get involved and see what we're up to. Awesome. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. It was great to meet you too.
Yes. Take care. And we'll be, like I said, in solidarity, we'll be alongside you.
Awesome. Thanks, Joanna.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I'll see you later. You too. Bye.
Well, it's always great to have our organizer friends on. Thank you again to Trader Joe's United, especially the Hadley folk, you know, leading the charge. And I don't know, Joanna, would you have any thoughts before we get to ghoulery and tomfoolery?
No, I think I covered them when we were talking to Meg. I think it's just fantastic that people can be more and more aware of these processes and what it takes to form a union. And that even though it's a lot of work, every union organizer we've talked to sounds incredibly joyful and finds, I think, happiness, it sounds like, when they're talking about it, and inspiration from that work to keep going. So I just want to remind people that things seem daunting, but when you're working together with others, it's a little bit easier. So, just do what you can to support the unions that are forming here in Western Mass. And like Spence and Meg both said, if you have interest in information about unions, there are a lot of people you could reach out to. And if you don't know where to start, you could reach out to us first.
And if you have any stories about your team organizing, please feel free to approach us, because public pressure is part of the strategy, and we don't expect you to come on the show, but you're more than welcome to come share your story when you're ready to put pressure on the people you're negotiating with in the public sphere. So shout out to anybody. This is, you know, I know we talk about cops a lot. We talk about the law. We talk about poverty, but one way to fight them is to organize in our workspace. We don't get paid for the profits that they make, and we should be cut into that. That's as simple as it should be. And one way to do that is to get on the same page and make sure we're getting what's owed to us. That's just the reality of it. And again, it's good for the economy. More people spending money, more people having money to spend, their basic needs met. I don't know. It just seems really simple to me, but who the fuck am I?
You are Spencer Fox Peterson.
All right. Thank you. I forgot.
You're welcome.
Sometimes I dissociate when the problem seems so simple, but it is complicated. I understand that, because we're all swimming in this soup. So.
Oh, it's absolutely complicated. It's absolutely complicated. It's a lot. And, like you mentioned, if you're in a workplace where it's like only a small amount of you and you're isolated, it's much harder to potentially organize too.
Yeah, but that means you can still support other people organizing.
Oh, absolutely. And hopefully these stories give you hope, on like everyone hope, you know what I mean?
For you're socializing in mixed company at weddings and stuff, and there's management ownership or owner class present, you kind of just let them know that the working class people talk about this shit. That's another way to rebel. Just be the whisper.
Don't be fun at parties. No, I'm just kidding.
But remember, people are organizing. It's great. I don't know. There's always your way. You're always going to be given an opportunity, and I say take it and make these people feel uncomfortable when you're in mixed company. Doesn't mean you have to be antagonistic or argumentative, but you can be like, yeah, people have a right to organize. Y'all, you know, rich people organize. Why the fuck can't we? Y'all are organized. Well,
absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Anyways, so we don't have a good transition, but as always, we have to bring you and tomfoolery. And it is, I guess, organizing. It's activism. Sharing a story from Climate Defiance. They're an organization that disrupts. They protest. They organize around climate issues such as fossil fuels and all that stuff. But basically, they showed up to a fundraising event in Nantucket for Maura Healey, and they were protesting, you know, no more investment in fossil fuels. And that doesn't mean just cars. It means power sources can't come from fossil fuels. So you can run an electric car, but you could be powered on coal. It can still be powered. Ultimately, the electricity could be created by awful carbon emitting power sources, right, Joanna?
Yeah.
So basically they showed up in protest and they got it all on videotape and all in 4K. We'll definitely share the link in our episode notes to the thread, the original thread. And then they have threads breaking down all the people that yelled at them and what their various roles in our communities are. So Joanna, top line.
Oh, well, at first, before we were recording, we were looking this up together and I was like, oh, those awful wealthy people on Martha's Vineyard. And then I was like, oh God, it was Nantucket. And I feel like if you're in Massachusetts or anywhere, there's just a different level of wealth on Nantucket, even compared to the vineyard. And so Maura Healey's spending her time with these incredibly wealthy assholes. And these young people, you know, they're demanding that Maura Healey use the power that she has to help with these banning of these new fossil fuel projects that Massachusetts is going to begin under Governor Healey's watch. And I just feel like the thread's fantastic because if you watch the video of how these adults who are all in their 60s act, first it's there's one blonde white woman who's just literally screaming she's so angry that her beautiful party time would be interrupted. And the older men that approach them are just, they look like, I don't know, they're from one of those, what is that? The Hunger Games movies. And they're from the District 9 or whatever, the big district where you have crazy hair and a glass of wine that you're sloshing while you're yelling at people. They're more caricatures than they are human because they're so wealthy. They don't even have any connection to what these young people are trying to get across. The way that they talk to them is just, I don't know, the way that they think, they say, I wouldn't care if you die, to one of the girls. I've been an activist my whole life, longer than you've been alive. If that were the case, your rich ass would be welcoming these kids onto your big, into your big Nantucket property and trying to get Maura Healey to work with them and help them. That's all they were asking for, was for someone to potentially give them some time and try to give them a yes or no answer on some of these questions. And for us, we talk about this a lot. The old people were just pissed that the elderly wealthy individuals were the most angry at how rude the young people were being. And I don't know how many times we have to say this, but we don't have to act in this civility politics, overly nice decorum sort of way when it's life or death. And I'm sorry if at this point you don't think that the climate is an issue, you're completely you're missing the plot. And this probably isn't the podcast you should be listening to. But yeah, this is disgusting display of wealth and ageism on the part. And I think that I think Thread is awesome. Like, I'd like to know who these assholes are. So I like that they did this.
I think I can play this. Hang on. Let's see if, can you hear this?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We're in the midst of a climate emergency.
What's your name?
My name is Matt.
Nice to meet you.
I'm 20 years old and you're throwing my future. The state of Massachusetts is building 10 new fossil fuel infrastructure projects right now. We need you to ban new fossil fuel infrastructure right now. Will you commit to doing that? Yes or no?
Let's talk about that. Okay.
No, let's talk about it. Yes or no?
Let's talk about that. There's a huge transition that we're in. There's a lot of work to do. But let me tell you,
the first step of the transition is to ban new fossil fuels. Will you ban new fossil fuel infrastructure?
I appreciate it.
And fossil fuels, Mara.
And fossil fuels. And fossil fuels, Mara. And fossil fuels.
You assaulted us.
How did I assault you? There is no
future. Get out!
The fossil fuel industry bought you out. The fossil fuel industry gave you $50,000. And fossil fuels, Mara. And fossil fuels.
Fossil fuels.
We have no money.
Laura has power and she can help save us.
But your rudeness
prevents you from talking to her.
Who cares how rude we are?
I don't mind if you die.
I'm going to die a lot quicker than you are.
Yeah. So that says it all to me. That says it all. Like at the end, and I'm sorry, that guy's saying you have no idea how to get things done. Those kids just ruined your fucking party, man. They got shit done. They dragged your ass. You showed your whole ass to the world on Twitter. And now everyone knows you're a piece of shit. So they did really actually get something done.
So there's other breakdowns with more, it's less edited. So there's more context to all that too. So go down the rabbit hole if you want. They did deep dives into who some of these people are. They're landlords, they're fossil fuel lobbyists. And, Maura Healey thought she was safe in Nantucket. And no, that was a mistake. So good on them. Sometimes disruption. I mean, again, we've said a million times, it's paper cuts, people. Everybody's got to do different things. Paper cuts, paper cuts, paper cuts. We don't have nukes. We don't have tanks. We can all do our part. We can all have our values, and you lead with your values.
Absolutely. And those people were so upset that their party was ruined, that the fact that they could straight face say to those young people, you've done nothing for your cause. It's like, sir, they've at least pissed your ass off pretty bad. You know who they are now.
Yeah. And you got one of them that said, actually, I don't care if you die. You have said it.
And they all were really all of the people helped, in my opinion, that weren't those that were part of that party acted terribly on camera. If someone watches it, it's embarrassing for every single person you see.
And Maura Healey dipped out because I guess that's protocol for politicians, because it could, I guess maybe her security details nope.
Yeah, just for her, I'm sure it's for her safety.
Yeah. So who knows? But it's just we see you, Maura. I get it. You've done okay things with, trying your best to do for women's healthcare or childbearing people's healthcare. That's excellent. I won't begrudge you that, but the lies about your transparency,
platform. Your 20% self-taken raise, and then you don't give the teachers unions their raises on July 1st of this year. Fucking sucks.
Yeah. And you're going to get a payment lump sum of back pay, and that hurts you too. And it's horseshit. And she the governor, the lieutenant governor, I think everybody except for fucking savvy old ghoul Bill Galvin, director of state chair. He's the only one that didn't.
He's the only one that didn't take it. Yeah.
He's such a ghoul of a politician.
Well, it's fiscally irresponsible. I mean, if anyone cared about that, they wouldn't do that.
But don't fall for his altruism is all I'm saying.
No, I'm not going to. I don't think it is even that. He's probably making enough money that he sees like, this looks so bad. It does look terrible when you're telling teachers for the last 10 years that 2% a year is a good raise. This is the first time that teachers are getting like a 4% raise each year, supposedly, and the governor can't even push it out to the teachers' unions on time, but can take 20% for herself as if that's like a normal raise that we all get. Like, I don't know who, I mean, please give us an email or phone call if you've had a 20% raise ever in your time in a position. That's an incredible amount of money that would be like better used by, like, I'm sure she's making enough before the 20% in our state. I mean, just in Boston alone, there are so many people who need things. This discussions we have every week on this, or every episode of this podcast, with different people who could use funds from the state for the community and not just to make more Healy more wealthy.
Correct. And or her donors, at the very least, and for her seat, you know, ability to secure power as a governor. Regardless of all that, Joanna, I'm not an idealist. I'm a realist. I understand that it's not just about banning fossil fuels, new projects, but that's literally where you start. And then, you know, yes, there's going to be committees and census and means testing on what's the best way forward. We have to look at it as, yes, it's more electric, more batteries, sure, but we have to think about our batteries. Like, we're mining for that lithium. Like, there's all these things we have to figure out, but, you know, can we find ways to make our power grid more efficient in the meantime? Can we, it's all these things, all these little policy things, but the easiest policy is no new fossil fuel projects. And that means power plants that are powered by coal. I'm using an extreme example. Just because you're driving a Tesla, if it's coming from a coal plant, I mean, yeah, it's less bad, but it's still bad. We need to get off these fossil fuels because the carbon's clearly hurting us. But I'm not, it's complicated because just putting electric cars on the road, that's not really a solution either, in my opinion, because you're going to have to mine the fuck out of lithium and all the other minerals we're going to need. And that means more war on the global south. So to me, it's all connected. And Maura Healey, I'm glad you got made uncomfortable and your little soiree got derailed for a minute. I'm sure you got the donations you needed and you got to have a nice little frustrating story with all your buds up there. And you guys get to act like you're some sort of warriors. I'm sure you'll tell yourselves that. So not that you'll ever listen to our show. This is why we need to stop hiring cops to other positions too. Everybody remember, Maura Healey was a prosecutor. So she's a cop. we need to stop electing cops to different jobs. I don't know what else to say.
Well, and like, I just feel like also, like, why is the governor allowed to like make their own raises? Like, as a person who's like very into ethics and just like, I don't know, like reorganization of companies was something I was very interested in when I studied industrial organizational psychology. Like, it is not okay. Like, we should change that as a law, that like, if she needs to change her salary or get a raise, she should have to like, I don't know, like go before like one of the bodies of government at least, or maybe it would be set in a type of step up program every year. I don't know. But the fact that they can just be like, well, I would like this raise is I don't get to do that at my job. It's messed up. It's super shady. Conflict of interest. Of course you want to make the most money that you can. It's really bizarre that we would let someone who is in charge of all of the state funds be like, well, yeah, obviously I want a 20% raise and I'm going to give that to myself. It's stupid on our part as like a state legislature. So I don't think it's stupid of the people at all, but I'm wondering again why the Democratic controlled progressive government in Massachusetts even allows that to be the way that it is.
It's all window dressing.
I'm just saying, like, it's just the questions. There are questions.
Lots of questions. And she lied about her transparency policy. She has the same
absolutely
as Charlie Baker. In fact, she's even protecting that administration by saying she can't. That was
the policy.
She can't release these records. Massachusetts is one of the least transparent state governments in the country. We're not a progressive place. It's all fucking window dressing. And it's controlled by corporate interests and wealthy folks' interests. I mean, we're the OG blue blood of the colonized states of America. We just have to face our fucking history and accept it and move forward. It's really that simple. And I'm glad that there is good news in this arena. Former guests and hopefully future guests, Andrew Cormier and Jeff Raymond, started a podcast called Lights Out Mass. And we've mentioned it previously, but they're on their third or fourth episode now. And they actually just did an episode about Maura Healey doing a deep dive on statements she's made on the record and writing legal, filings, all this stuff, really holding her to account, like specifically on that. So I want to shout them out. And definitely should go check that. If any of this client defiance action confronting Maura Healey to the things we talked about where she's failed policy wise, with transparency, etc. Andrew Cormier and Jeff Raymond are on transparency stuff. So definitely go
absolutely
give them a follow, give them a listen. I mean, we are rely so much on journalists like them. So I don't know what else to say. They're great guys. So definitely give them a follow. I believe the YouTube channel is The Mass Dump. So it's Andrew's thing, but the name of their podcast is Lights Out Mass. And I think they're on all podcast players. I follow them on Apple for sure. So yeah, like us, please like, share, subscribe, follow. Love, hate, send us mail, whatever. We're here. Thanks for listening to The Weed Out. I'm Spencer Fox Peterson.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joanna Maybuti. I hope you take care and stay well. We'll talk to you soon.